Our next story takes us to Ethiopia. 40 years ago, in the rural region of Amhara, there was a young farmer who decided the patriarchal society in which he lived needed to change. Zumra Nuru wanted to create a place where men and women would make decisions together, both at home and in society. So he decided to found his own village, Arumba.
Ever since I was a four-year-old boy living with my parents, I was observing what was going on in our society. Women were treated like house slaves. Some men would beat and insult their wives and even throw them out of the house. I wanted to put these things right.
That's village founder Zumra Nuru speaking in a documentary directed by the European filmmaker couple Paulina Tervo and Sada Ferit. After shooting their first documentary on the village in 2008, Paulina and Serda embarked on a more ambitious project to spread the message of Arumba around the globe, the so-called Arumba Experience. This is a collaborative, interactive web documentary designed for tablets and computers that allows you to click your way through the village and exchange knowledge with other viewers and the community. Earlier, Paulina and Serda joined me on the line from Helsinki, Finland, to tell me more about the project and the village. I started by asking them what struck them the most on entering Arumba for the first time.
For me, it was the serenity. It's a quiet place, but not in a stiff kind of European way that you might find in Northern Europe. Birds are chirping, people are happily getting on with their lives without any unnecessary drama. I guess you could describe it as harmonious in a way. Certainly different. It's a different feeling to other places we've both been to or lived in.
And I think what fascinated me as well is that what they've done is virtually impossible in the surroundings that they're in. The context being it's a very rural part of Ethiopia that has very conservative values and old traditions that people live by. And the fact that they've kind of gone against those traditions in a way that they've decided to discuss what's wrong with society and change the things that they believe are harmful. That is so incredibly astounding for
me. It's rare, not just in their own context, but anywhere. You try and change strong traditions anywhere you go in the world. It's not very easy. And I think let's take the context thing out of that. Whatever context you're in, I think that's impressive.
Yeah, and I think we were also curious about how it really works and what does it take to set something like this up? So we've really been focusing on these issues as well in our film.
And what would you say are the main issues in Arumba?
When we started the project, we actually sat down with the community and we discussed what are the issues that are most important to their way of life and the things that they've changed. And collaboratively, we came up with 10 themes and we focused on these 10 themes as part of our documentary. The 10 themes are gender equality,
faith and peace,
education,
independence from aid, sustainable growth, healthcare, elderly care,
family planning,
democracy,
yes, and charity. Because
and charity, yeah.
Actually, one of the most incredible things about Arumba is that they help people who are in a worse position themselves. So
every Tuesday, Neil, everyone in Arumba, bar none, whatever work they do that day, it contributes to a pot that goes towards helping people that are less fortunate than them. And we've seen the results of this, and it's amazing. So one day a week, every single week, since the beginning, we believe, they work towards charity.
And what sort of work do they live off? I mean, how do they sustain themselves?
That's a really good question, because they've had their fair share of problems in the past, because what they were trying to do was so seen as so revolutionary that they were chased out of their village by their neighbours, the government changed around that time. So when they eventually returned from exile, they came back to the village to find that their land had been given away by the new government, so which meant that they had very little land to live on and they couldn't grow enough food to sustain themselves. So they learned how to weave. So they're now a weaving community that make beautiful textiles That's their main business,
source of income.
They sell the products in the village and also in some nearby markets. And apart from that, they've also been quite entrepreneurial in the sense that they cater for neighboring communities. They have a mill where people come to mill grain. They have a little supermarket now. They have a restaurant.
They have a small hotel, really. Well,
a little guest house.
A guest house for visitors, because they get an awful lot of tourism now, from Ethiopia, from hundreds of miles away in Ethiopia, just to come and take notes and adopt some of our Rambas philosophies in their own villages. But they also get quite a lot of international tourists nowadays.
And just wanted to add to that a lot of their income is invested in social welfare, which is something quite unusual
all over the world.
All over the world. But they have a school. They have actually two schools in the village, and one of them they built with their own money and resources, and they have a home for the elderly where people who are old and sick can be cared for 24 hours a day.
They built a high school, which we know costs $50,000, which is an incredible amount of money for our Ramba. And it took them a number of years, and they were promised funding, but the funders pulled out, and they went along and did it anyway. They built a high school which caters for about 650 high school students, and only 20 of those are from our Ramba. Ironically, the remainder are from neighbouring villages, a number of whom used to be our Ramba's enemies. So they've actually done a massively good gesture for their neighbours who used to dislike them.
Now, all this started with the vision of the man who founded the village over 40 years ago, Zumra Nuru. Can you please describe him? What sort of man is he?
For me, Zumra is a genius trapped in the body of a person who couldn't go to school. He had to start work at the age of 4, and he's been working ever since then. But he's also clearly quite eccentric, and I guess he always has been, because we've seen, even the oldest pictures we have of him, he's always been wearing that really wacky green hat.
He's someone who has really gone through a lot of difficulties in the past. He's someone who doesn't give up. He's someone who's persevered through a lot of problems in his life because he has a dream that he really believes in. But he might come across as someone who's quite hard on the surface, but he's really quite soft and gentle underneath. And he's extremely funny. Zumra really has a good sense of humour and makes people laugh when he talks. I would say now, he's the founder and he's in a way the leader of the community, but more and more he's stepping back to allow for the young people to take charge. So he's someone who's very humble and modest for a person who's achieved such big change.
Filmmaker couple Serdar Ferit and Paulina Tervo talking to me from Helsinki there. And if you'd like to find out more about this unique village, just visit the website aramba.com or check them out on Facebook and Twitter. You can also actively support the Aramba experience by contributing to the documentary's crowdfunding campaign. Just click on the banner at the top of their website to make it happen.